Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to the brand new season of Dragon Friends. If you're joining us for the first time this episode, we're starting a new adventure, so feel free to dive in here. You'll get the hang of it very soon, I'm sure. And if you're up to date with the past two seasons, your favourite band of idiots are being taken from their familiar surroundings in ancient Barovia to a strange new world. Let's see how they fare.
Very stones of Castle Ravenloft shake and groan around you, even as the vampire Strahd von Zarovich shrieks his final curse. As he collapses into dust and shadows, you feel a surge of hope. A curse has been lifted and an ancient wrong righted, but it doesn't take long for that hope to turn sour. The portal he has opened has grown unstable with his death, even as you watch it grows twofold, threefold, sixfold in size, until it threatens to overwhelm the room. Small objects are caught in its fell gravities and fly through to God's nowhere. Soon you feel it tugging even on you. The portal becomes impossible. You're right.
I didn't say anything.
The portal becomes impossible to resist as you find yourself dragged one by one into its maw. Tiny Bobby Pancakes, the halfling rogue, is the first to be overcome, flying into the swirling vortex and disappearing. Friezo, the warlock, and Baston, the handsome man, follow soon after. Baston, still too proud even to scream. Even as the three of you disappear, you see Filge, the half-orc barbarian, roaring in frustration as the balustrade she holds onto begins to crack and splinter. She calls out to you, but you hear nothing but a rush in your ears as the vortex engulfs and sends you spinning, powerless, into the void and silence. For a second, you could swear you can feel the taste of gingerbread on your lips and a lesson perhaps in your heart that you might want to carry through this season.
All right.
But then it is gone. Bobby, you awake in a small, strange room. It seems impossible, the product of some kind of magic. It's too symmetrical, too clean, too shiny. A small series of runes jut out of the wall above you, one of them blinking with an unnatural, even light. Baston and Friezo lie passed out on the floor beside you. Poor Filge is nowhere to be seen. The last time you remember seeing her, she was careening through the portal just ahead of you, but now she is gone. You have a splitting headache. The door is closed, the way is locked, and it is time to find out where you have arrived.
I slap Friezo awake.
Okay.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're lying in rags on the floor.
Do I wake up? Is this magical sleep or real sleep?
I reckon do a strength check.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. You're tiny. What did you roll? Just beat 12.
I did not.
So Friezo, do I just have a dream where I'm getting slapped?
Yeah. Do you like it?
Do I or does Friezo?
Friezo mutters. Friezo mutters and rolls over, but Baston, hearing the slaps, awakens.
Ah! Oh. Good morning.
Baston and Bobby, you both notice that you are, both of you, in smouldering rags. Your equipment seems to have been scattered to the heavens.
So we have nothing on us except rags.
The rags of the fine Barovian clothes that you were once wearing, yes.
So our inventories are gone?
For now.
Okay.
Inventories, brother. What? Inventories.
What did I say?
Inventories.
What's the difference?
Oh, is this season, is it going to be Hing that can't, say words? That would be so good for me.
Well, I searched the room for my inventories.
Can I do an investigation?
Is there a door or something? Can
I do an investigation check?
No, yes. Sorry, no. Friezo is the one doing it.
No, Friezo's asleep.
Yes, he's still asleep. I got an 18 plus 3.
You got a
21.
You got an 18 plus 3 on an investigation check.
Yep.
Okay, so you do see a portal that looks like it might be the way out. The walls are very cold to the touch. There is almost nothing, just bunks along the side of the room, and there is a strange sigil that looks like a spire coming out of a starburst etched on
the... Yum, what flavour?
Etched on the wall, and as I said, this panel that has three stubs with three blinking lights above it.
So stubs?
Yeah, like little bolts.
Like buttons?
Well, you wouldn't know what they are.
All right.
So when you say portals, do you mean like in a ship, like a porthole, like a circular window, or like a gaping vortex into another dimension?
No. This looks like two big pieces of metal that come apart.
Ooh.
I try and pry it open.
With your hands?
Yes.
You're going to show me that strength check?
Nope.
All right.
Baston's going to fly kick it. As is his wont. Okay. Here we go.
Okay, you rolled... Actually, let's
12.
Show everyone. No, but we have a
15.
Dice cam.
Take that door. Aha!
You rolled a 12, so... Yeah, okay, you don't hurt your foot. Congratulations.
Yes. The door... The way is shut.
The lights.
Yeah, so each of the lights underneath it has what seems to be a small rod protruding from it.
These surely are tiny lanterns, I say, having not seen lights before?
You live in a world of magic. You've seen lights.
Can I kick... So, like, the three little stubs, can I kick one like how you kick the button at a traffic light?
You know, that's really bad because you're putting your dirty shoe where other people put their feet.
Well, Lisa, I'm not touching your dirty hands.
You're not a good citizen.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so
I'm not.
You're going to kick the first
stuff. I feel
stuff.
Like, Eden, that your gameplay so far is leaning on a very heavy kick-based strategy. Mm.
It's like a taekwondo.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm just going to keep doing it till it stops.
So you're going to kick one of the buttons?
Yep.
Which one?
Whichever one I hit. The middle one.
Okay, you're going to hit the middle one. All right.
Wait, can I try and do a side foot so I get all three? How far apart are they?
What size shoe does Baston have?
12.
Whoa! You know what they say.
You want to hit all the buttons at once?
Yeah, it seems...
I forgot what playing with you is like, okay?
It seems like the most efficient action I can take.
Okay, make a dexterity check.
All right. 13 plus... 15.
Okay, 15.
Woo!
You successfully hit all three buttons at once, which makes all of the lights flash angrily red as if some kind of emergency protocol has been activated, and suddenly you can hear footsteps coming into the room.
Hark, Mr. Pancakes, look at the lights.
Okay, he never talks like that.
Doesn't he?
You have just a few seconds if you want to prepare anything before someone's going to be at the door.
But we have no weapons or anything. I just curl up my fists into...
Actually, no,
Sock'em rockets. That's what I call them, Sock'em rockets.
You had the pouch of your lockpicking tools, which you would still probably have, because you carry that underneath your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you would have that, but I don't think you have anything else.
Okay, but I don't see a lock anywhere.
No. So really, I'm just taunting
this
you.
This is a real 10,000 spoons situation.
All right, there is a buzz, a hiss, and the door opens, and in walks a goblin with a little squat hat and wearing what seems to be a grey matching sort of one-piece suit with the same Starburst and Spire sigil on the front of it. He looks kind of irritated.
Hello, mister.
Oh, hi. Yeah, right. What you've done there is you've hit the emergency protocol, which we have there because we're good citizens. It doesn't seem to be an emergency. So this is a bit of a situation that I'd say you being a bit of a dickhead.
Oh, our emergency is that our friend is really sick. As you'll see, he won't respond to any kicking or hitting.
Yeah, no, he's been put in a deliberate state of a neuro rest. Made that up. I've been taking night school. I've got one of those word of the day calendars, and I can't read.
Oh yeah, night school. When do they give you your lance?
Right, so I'm going to go, because I've got a lot of other people to see to, but hot tip, if you don't want to be beaten to a pulp, don't bring me out when there's not an emergency.
Okay, just quick question.
Sure, fire away.
Where am I?
You're fucked is where you are.
I didn't say what am I.
Yeah.
Or
all right, sorry, yes, no, you're correct. You're in the shit, buddy. Now, I was doing a poo, and I'm going to go finish that. And then he walks out, and the doors go... Phoop.
Cool.
And you hear him be like, I don't like this job very much at all. I just don't... Julia was right, I got to quit. My heart's not in it.
And he disappears down the corridor. The lights resume their standard blinking pattern.
Can I wake Friezo up?
Yeah, I'd say...
I'm good at slapping.
This time, enough time has passed. Friezo, you awake as well.
What did Eden roll, though?
He rolled a 7.
7 plus
so
3
when you
is
wake, 10. When you wake up naturally,
yeah.
He's like, eh. Like, just kind of caressing your face.
Mm. Dave, did I hear that there were runes on the wall somewhere?
Yes, you did.
Well, I can cast... Oh, no, I would recognise them, right? Friezo would recognise them as being magical of some sort?
You actually recognise them as non-magical.
Ooh. A non-magical rune.
That's correct.
I don't think I understand...
It's a symbol you haven't seen before.
But I know it's not magical.
Yes.
And I can't read it.
Well, we didn't say that.
Oh, well, no. Well, can I read it?
Oh, no, he did say that.
I would just like some more clarity of communication.
There are three things on the wall. They're symbols. We can describe them to you.
That said, you do, and because we haven't done any magic yet, you do have the spell Comprehend Languages, don't you?
I do.
So you could cast that if you want, but you don't recognize it latently.
Ooh, all right. I think we try and blast down this door.
Yep, let's do it.
Sorry, what was your suggestion, Dave?
No, never mind.
All right, I have a cantrip, right? I'm going to cast...
You're going to blast down this door with a cantrip.
I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast, right?
You and put so much stock in that spell.
Wait. I'm going to use Eldritch Spear, which has a 300-foot range, but I'm going to do it from point blank.
Oh, it's like a one-inch punch.
Yeah, like a one-inch punch, but a 300-foot range, but just right up close to the door.
All right. Roll your dice. It's standing still, so you're very easy to do.
Every cantrip is a success? That's how I've been playing this.
That's a bloody millennial approach, tell you that much for free. Every cantrip gets a bloody trophy.
Alright.
That's why you're useless in the workforce.
16.
I rolled a 16 plus. I think I use my charisma, which is 4, so I got a 20.
Yeah, so that's fine. Alright. You manage to spear improbably. The spell pierces through the membrane of some steel and seems to affect some circuitry because the three lights begin to flash red and you hear footsteps approaching.
How big is the hole I've made in the door?
Microscopic.
Interesting.
Do you have some sort of shrinking spell that we can... honey, I shrunk the kids ourselves and just...
Again, you have very little time.
Okay. I stand behind Friezo.
Are you hiding behind Friezo?
Yeah.
I'm hiding behind Bobby.
All right.
The halfling is hiding behind the elf and then the human is hiding behind the halfling.
Yeah.
Roll a stealth check.
Yeah. 4, 3.
Okay. While you're discussing things, I'm just going to say what my action is. As the footsteps approach closer and closer and louder, I yell out very loudly, "Ah! Someone has cast Eldritch Spear from the other side of this door!"
The door slides open and instantly you see that it is three figures this time, the goblin from before, but also a hulking troll in an impeccable suit and a very old-looking man in a very threadbare trench coat.
We've never seen clothes like these before, right?
This looks not dissimilar to...
You can be like, that's clothes.
So I'm not like, what is this extra flappy skin?
Oh my god, a thing's eating him. No, it's a coat. It's
okay,
fine.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's not. It seems like outlandish tailoring, but you can imagine how it was made.
Sure.
Yeah, you know how, like, Simon Griner, when you watch a movie and it's sometimes set in a different era, but you recognize they're just clothes?
No, Simon freaks out.
Why is that man being swallowed by that hay monster?
Yeah.
Okay, so they come in, and then do they say anything, or just wait for us to speak?
The guard, the goblin guard from before, goes like, you know, I was actually going to come in here. Funny story. I was actually going to come in here. I was sort of hoping you'd do something stupid, because I love brutality, and I was going to beat the shit out of you and all three of you now that you're awake. Hello. I thought the better thing to do, and this is just a bit of a fate situation, but Mr. Sauer's here, and he's going to take care of it. Bye bye. He does this weird thing, like, bye-bye!
And does he not move as he's saying
that? He doesn't.
That?
He thinks... I think he's done it before when there's been a sliding door and it's been okay, but there hasn't this time.
So he's going, bye-bye, fade, and he's just still just standing there.
He's still standing there. There's a moment, and then he goes, righto, and goes. So it's not a good exit for him.
So when he points to Sours, that's the troll?
It's Mr. Sauer. You don't know who that is.
No, he's just said Mr. Sauer's here.
Yeah, but he's like a jerk over his thumb.
Oh, okay.
Just like you. I'm an insult comic now.
Oh, so, do me.
You're too nice.
As the goblin disappears, the man in the threadbare trench coat takes out a small wrinkled paper bag and pulls something out of it and puts it in his mouth while the two of them stare at you without saying anything.
Say, mister, can I have a candy?
You want candy?
I would also like a candy.
Yes. You both want candy. That's two out of three who want candy. You, sir, you want candy?
No, thank you. I do not eat.
Mr. Lambert. What?
I do not eat.
Would you like ever? Like not at all?
No.
Sorry, sidebar. Do you think that's an elf thing?
Yeah, it's like an elf thing. It's like elves, they don't eat, they can fly, they have all the hit points.
We've been playing this for 2 years, Hing.
I'm pretty sure elves don't eat. Have you ever seen an elf?
What have you been doing with
all
those? I've never seen an elf. That doesn't make any difference.
Ah, checkmate.
Yep.
So. What have you been doing with all those baked goods?
What?
What about all those baked goods?
You mean throwing them in a river?
All right, that's two out of three, Mr. Lambert. And he hands the hulking, impeccably dressed troll the wee little paper bag, and he draws two what are clearly boiled sweets and hands them to Bobby and Baston.
Aww.
Yes, well, you had your chance, Mr. I do not eat. maybe, and he's really excited about this, and he says to Mr. Lambert, maybe now, maybe he will, maybe the thing that he will, one moment, maybe the thing that he will eat now is his words.
There is Mr. Lambert from behind a pair of what looks, even to outsiders as yourselves, to be very expensive sunglasses and a very impeccable suit. Doesn't move a muscle for about 3 seconds, and then just the corner of his mouth twitches.
Good one, sir. Hilarious.
Yes, it was. Look, I do not know how much you know about where you are or who I am, but I believe our goblin-y friend before put it poetically. You are in the shit. You have been found in alleyway, unconscious. That's not how I say it. Sorry.
Yeah, what is happening to this accent?
I have sweet in my mouth. With no identity, chip. And so you get put here. For how long? Who knows? I do. Ages. But look, then maybe Mr. Sauer comes along, as he does from time to time in this facility when he needs... for want of better word, muscle. For want of better word, job.
do you want a muscle job?
It's like a hand job. Like you're my hands.
Hey. We had a chat about this backstage. We literally had a chat about how this season was going to be different. You were there. It's like 5 minutes into the adventure.
I just mean, like, I need some work hands, and it's a job. It's not my first language. So the hand job. Here's how it works.
Is there payment for this? Would it be like a cash-in hand job?
Here's how it works when you go with Mr. Sauer. I take you out of holding facility. I pay corporation off. Your debt is to me now. You work debt off by doing simple job. This one is like, how you say, like violence. You do this for me, and then we are square.
This muscle job, is it a three-man muscle job or can I do it solo?
This is a package deal. I need all three. You look, how you say, scrappy. This one, he looks like a scrappy little fighter. This one, very handsome man. You, I feel like you're a very dangerous person.
Look, we usually work as a foursome. So Friezo asks, when you found us in the alleyway, was there a giant hulking, dumb orc lady? Half-orc?
I find nobody in no alleyway. I have deal with corporation where I come to prison from time to time to hand-pick people for work. But you say, dumb half-orc? It is, what's the phrase? Like, tinkling alarms.
What?
It's ringing bells. I could not think fast enough. There's no way that I would get that wrong. It's very strange. But yes, no, I find this, that rings a bell, like big lady. She has a little pet, like a rodent.
Yeah, it's dead. And no one's happy about it, but
I see her. She took job for me like 6 months back.
We've been here for 6 months?
I don't know how long you've been here for, but this was 6 months ago.
But where is she now?
I don't know. I am not the inquisitive type. She does job. I say thank you very much. She say thank you. You pet my rat. I say no. We pat on pretty good terms.
Where is she now?
I literally just answered that question.
When did she last do a job for you?
Look, I would like to elect myself speaker of this dumb idiot trio. What's the goal of this muscle job?
Look, there is why don't we talk when you agree? Look, this...
That's not how contracts work. Why would we agree to it if we don't know what it is?
I am holding all the chips. You can either rot in prison or you can come to me.
Okay, family discussion.
I
guys,
could kill
huddle.
Him right now.
Huddle.
I like their clothes.
If you kill him, he's our only lead to Filge at the moment.
All right.
So, let's just take it. Anything is better than that guy who keeps on coming in from going to the toilet.
We accept this muscle job.
Mr. Sauer snaps his fingers and the small goblin comes back, this time with what seems to be a magical item. And he imprints it on, he takes each of your wrists in turn and holds it over it, and it vibrates and you feel a stinging sensation. And then he ostentatiously, unnecessarily bows and steps back, and the three of you can walk out of the room. As you do, Mr. Sauer beckons, and he and his troll associate begin to walk forward ahead of you, allowing you to follow. With nowhere else to go, you do just this, I presume?
Yep.
Yeah, we follow.
For now.
As you walk down what seems to be a sloping spiral corridor, you suddenly hear three chimes and a hum. And at that moment, with a hydraulic whoosh, the western outside wall of the corridor seems to realign itself and in an instant reveal itself transparent. And what you see beyond defies all logic. A world where giant ziggurats and towers clutter the horizon, each the center of what seems to be an angry swarm of strange metal carriages that fly through the air. Down below, 1,000 multicolored lights flicker and shift in colors and patterns too uniform to be campfires, while a titanic woman in an exotic robe materializes thousands of feet high, indicates how much she likes the can of drink she's drinking, and then disappears into points of light.
Cool.
Yes, welcome to Chiba.
How do you say that again?
Chiba.
How do you spell that?
What? This was like a moment. I was like, welcome to Chiba. And you're like, how do you spell that? No, like, what is this?
Well, because like, I don't have your accent. I don't want to be like, Chiba. You know, it could be offensive if I'm
what that's like you doing me now? That's...
Yes, I'm doing you
now. No, it's more like Chiba. Yeah. Chiba.
Chiba.
How far from Barovia are we?
Well, I've not heard of Barovia. How close is it to Japan? Because that's where you are. You're in Chiba, Japan. You want to know how to say that? Like, you want to ruin another thing for me? Like, is that your thing now?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Point of order, Dungeon Dave. Japan is in the real world that Michael Hing lives in.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, that is correct.
So, is there a chance that Friezo is going to meet me?
We can't rule it out. We cannot rule it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Friezo.
That'll be like turning on the Large Hadron Collider.
What is happening?
20 minutes later and you find yourself in a small ramen bar where a mechanically augmented dwarf is wiping a filthy bar where little balls of soba noodles are laid out at random intervals and...
Surely ramen noodles?
No, funnily enough, not. He's out of ramen.
And like a soba? They're making a soba noodle?
Yeah.
Like a cold buckwheat noodle.
Mm. Since when did you all become experts on Japanese noodles?
I know my fucking noodles, bro.
You gotta know your noodles.
Mr. Soak orders 4 bowls of soba ramen, which is a delicacy now, and the dwarf bustles away.
Yeah, I got you. Like, soba ramen right here. That's what he says.
In that voice?
Yeah, in that voice. His name is Grim Laser Bag.
Somebody mark the time. It is 8:12 of the first Dragon Friends episode, and Ben Jenkins has run out of accents again.
He plays the theremin in a prog rock band.
Okay, thank you very much. As you sit down, Mr. Soak rummages in a filthy pocket, and while boiled sweets scatter on the ground, he pulls out 4 plastic sheaths, each of which have what seems to be a small microchip in them. And he places the plastic against you, and you feel against the back of your necks, and you feel another stinging sensation.
Ow!
Yes.
Ow! What is that?
Yeah, he's like a formality. It's fine. What? He's like saying hello, and you say hello, and then we put a chip in your head. Look,
Baston grabs him by the collar and says, "When do we get the fancy clothes?"
This was like not the thing we talked about.
If we're representing your organization, surely you'd like us to look the part.
Look, I have Taylor. I have good Taylor. His name is Grigor, and
his name's what?
Grigor, and
Gringo?
His name is Grigor.
What are you saying?
What are you saying? he's married to my niece. Grigor, like Greg, but like or.
Ben, I'm looking at the plot hooks here you've got to get through, and none of this is in it.
It's like how you say, it's like color and shade. It's, look, you can have fancy clothes.
An hour later, and you find yourself in a tailor's office, and he's measuring Friezo.
Ah, Mr. Gringo. You should know that I dress to the left.
And then Mr. Sauer says something to his... what's a cousin's husband?
Grigor.
Cousin-in-law?
Also a cousin.
Sure. And says, he's saying, talking about his penis. That's what he's doing.
While you are measured for your fancy clothes.
And these are like fancy security clothes, like Mr. Lambert's wearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mr. Sauer explains, he's like, you are not on level of Mr. Lambert. He's very strong and capable.
I'm very strong and capable.
you are like an afternoon job. Some people like they pull out at the last minute for this security job. Like they they die, and so I need you to do it. It's like a babysitting job, you know, like bodyguard. You see that movie, that ancient movie, like "And I Will Love You." That one, it's dead.
No, I've never heard of it, but I do love sing-alongs.
Soak indicates to a screen and it flickers into life and you can see what seems to be a giant, another one of these ziggurats, where a stadium seems to be full of colourful people, young people, and a stage, which you do recognise, is being set. And superimposed over the image is a beautiful face, and a name appears under that face, which... you can read for some reason. The common languages are the same, let's say, and that name is Johnny PlayStation.
What? Dave, are we sponsored by PlayStation now? Excellent. No.
The name is...
I got this. Don't worry, Ben.
It's
going to
be great for the podcast.
Ben, you vamp.
Wait,
I got
so
this.
So, Dave, so we can see into a stadium?
Yeah, it's on TV. Like, let's.
Which is to say that a portal opens up in the wall, and suddenly you see a face.
Whoa!
Yeah. Are we like?
There he is. This is the idiot that you have to protect today. He's doing one of his shows. He's big with the teens. The teens go bananas for Johnny PlayStation.
Say bananas again.
Bananas.
Right. And you want us to protect him from what?
Look, it's hard in the entertainment industry. He break contract with one corporation, go to another. He's feeling skittish. Thinks that somebody might try to harm him between start of gig, end of gig.
And you want us to harm him?
No, this is absolutely the opposite of what I want you to do.
What's a corporation?
Oh, slick.
Is it like a person?
How long do you have? Well, under some laws... it's like big group of rich people come to... This is where you realize that I actually don't know how to describe what
a
company
guild.
Is.
Is it a guild?
It's like a guild. It's like a big guild.
It's like big guild.
Thanks.
Oh, man, you guys are old-fashioned. It's like big guild with lots of money and muscle.
And where is this stadium from here?
It's like the...
Just out this window.
That's a television.
What's a television?
Yes,
Friezo, what's a television?
For some reason, Friezo knows what a television is.
I wonder, can Friezo's arcana checks work on technology?
Well, I was going to say, let's just roll with that Friezo does know what a television is. We'll work out what that means
you
later.
Know what's happening? What's really happening is that before I was able to distinguish between me and Friezo because we were in separate universes, and now...
The streams are crossing!
I am this is fucked.
Later that evening in a small coffee house, Mr. Lambert is giving you your final instructions and Soak is preparing to leave.
Can I just say that you all look so good?
And you do. For now, the three of you are dressed in security suits, black shirts, black ties with silver tie-pins, and even Bobby has a little pair of sunglasses.
Do I have a cool earpiece?
Yes, but it's not plugged into anything.
Can I get a little, like a little flare item just to differentiate myself?
Yes, take my pocket square, and you get your pocket square. Nice.
What do I get?
You get the biggest gift of all, and he gives you a little kiss on the forehead.
While
I blush at deep crimson.
While we're asking for things, can I have a gun? Can I have a...
Oh, yeah, do we get weapons?
So, hang on. So you guys got one thing each, and you got a pocket square and a kiss. And, yeah, sure, he gives you his gun.
I mean, that begs the question.
It's a Colt .45, and he gives you 18 bullets.
Yeah. It's good thing that you know the custom that I have to honor one wish from each of you. So, congratulations.
But, and with that...
I didn't get to choose mine.
And with that, Mr. Soak leaves, and you take a second to review.
Mr. Soak? Who's Mr. Soak?
Mr. Sour.
Right.
Mr.
Sour.
And you do take a second to review, for it. You would be forgiven from being confused, what with the many trips to tailors and coffee houses of what your job was.
Wait. Was it a magic kiss? Did it, like, enchant me in some way?
He sticks his head back through the door, just kiss! And then...
Mr. Sour has put you on a mission, and you know that in a moment's time, a black car, some kind of horseless carriage, you're getting the hang of the world, let's say, will arrive to take you. It's much less traumatic if you just think of everything as being magical. It will arrive and take you to the concert where Johnny PlayStation is performing his world tour. Johnny PlayStation, the greatest and most powerful sim star of the Hollow Circuit, is performing one night only in Chiba, Japan, and having sensationally broken his contract, there are fears that reprisals from his once parent corporation will claim his life.
What's that corporation called?
That corporation that used to control him was called Horizon. No, the new corporation that controls him is Horizon, and his old benefactors were a corporation known as Voss Saito Group, or VSG. Now,
is that like the water company?
What happened is the water company. The water company was conglomerated with a powerful Japanese Zaibatsu in about 2023, and then it became an international syndicate off the back of their water sales, own most of the world.
Wait, so what year is it?
Slow down. What the hell is a Zaibatsu?
It's like a guild.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
Has the car arrived yet?
The car is waiting outside, and a driver steps out and indicates for you to finish your espressos and get in.
I get in the car in the driver's seat, and I say, "We're not taking any risks. I haven't got a gun. I don't trust anybody. Johnny PlayStation's going to be safe, or Friezo's name isn't Friezo. Who am I?"
You're Michael Hing, and your friends are worried about you.
Friezo doesn't get any more coffee.
Baston finishes.
The driver looks like he really doesn't care, and the rest of you get in?
Yeah.
So hang on, if he's sitting in the driver's seat, is he sitting on the driver's lap?
No, because the driver got out to gesture to us to say...
Right.
So I Grand Theft Auto'd this.
So you have a car now, and you're on the loose in Chiba.
Do you know how to drive a car? What's your car proficiency?
I don't know, 25? Fuck it. I think Friezo is like really determined to get to this job because it's like he's got a gun. He like feels like he's going up in the world.
You can't drive a car with charisma.
Gun. What?
You can't drive a car with charisma.
I think
you all three of you sit awkwardly in the car while Friezo's adrenaline boils over, and then you look out the window and you can just see the chauffeur confused pull out some car keys from his pocket and jingle them.
Is there a how fancy is this car? Is there a minibar?
Yes, there is a minibar.
All right, I fixed myself a beverage.
I scooch over to the passenger seat, but I'm riding shotgun in this with my gun.
All right. He beeps it and the door unlocks and the driver awkwardly sits next to you.
What else is in the car? What's in the minibar, for instance?
There is some white spirits. There's some brown
like
spirits.
Like big bottles, little bottles. Like
Well, yeah. For you, medium-sized bottles and enormous bottles.
But like, what shelf are we talking? Like, it's
top
the bourbon.
Shelf. Top shelf.
Top shelf.
Oh, right.
It's mostly Russian stuff.
Oh, Russian stuff. I was hoping to have a Suntory time, but that's all right.
Oh, no, there's Japanese stuff too, so you can get some Suntory.
Cling.
You don't know what any of this is!
Well,
that's why we try a little bit of all of them.
So you try a little bit of every spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, can we make them drunk in terms of statistics?
Yes, absolutely. All right.
All right.
There's no spirits in the front, so while you guys try a little bit of every bottle in the minibar...
Where's Mr. Sour?
Mr. Sour's already left. Friezo, you are left in the front to make awkward chit-chat with the driver.
I got a gun. I don't know what it does exactly, but I feel powerful when I hold it, and it makes up for all of my inadequacies.
Oh, all right. Okay, buddy. All right. You look...
They told me it was a Colt 45 with 18
bullets.
Oh, boy,
that's some gun. I had a gun like that back in 52. First gun, real beginner gun, but you know, it doesn't kick too hard. It's good for beginners.
I press the button and like the thing comes down between the driver and I'm like,
we're out of olives?
What? I go, hello, driver. More of this drinks. Merci.
They had alcohol in like Barovia. This is not...
But this is like Russian stuff.
All right.
So we arrive at the place or what's
going eventually, on? About 45 minutes later, the car pulls up at the artist entrance of a massive domed stadium. There are huge spotlights shining in the sky and this area, entire area, is locked down by security guards dressed much as you. It seems that security is very tight here. The driver is waved into a bay and the door opens and he tells you regretfully that he can go no further.
But will he be here when we come back?
He drives away.
Oh. Do we have like lanyards or ID that can get us through these guards?
Yeah, you have all access, all area lanyards.
So I walk through the guards and I say, sorry guys, very important. We're here to guard Mr. PlayStation. I have a gun.
I just imagine Friezo is like, got it in his hand and he's waving it around like this.
Yeah.
What a difference a couple of hours make. For now, you have you've made your way into the concert, and a world that was strange is still strange, but with a gun in your hand
and a couple of drinks under your belt,
anything seems possible. Emboldened to make the best out of a bad situation, you make your way through security and to the backstage area. Sauer told you to make contact with his agent here in the stadium, a woman known only as Gleam, but it does not take you long in this strange world to find yourselves hopelessly lost backstage. Even as you try to find your contact, you become slowly aware that it has been minutes since you saw a security guard and in fact are now hopelessly alone amid towering hard cases of equipment in shadowy rooms. As you have this thought, you suddenly realize that alone you are not, for there are two figures in the distance. And though this world is not your own, it does not take a familiar person. I see what you mean. Although you are not alone, it does not take a native of these lands to realize someone who should not be there when you see one.
Oi, give us a leg up. I'm trying to get on the box to see if it...
Now you give me a leg up.
No, I asked first.
Yeah, but it's not how that works, is it?
Like, it's definitely how it works.
No, who's better for the leg up? Is it you or me?
What?
I've got no fingers.
What? Yeah, well, you should bloody get them replaced. Bio implants aren't
that
expensive.
Yeah, I'm not made of credits, mate.
Well, look.
Baston, Bobby, Friezo, you are about 40 feet away from them and they haven't seen you yet.
Friezo runs towards them. Friezo dashes towards these people because he sees them trying to breach the perimeter.
Okay.
And he yells, stop right there. I am a security guard and probably their manager, pointing to the people behind him, which is Bobby and Baston.
Okay, so he just... All right, so you're not in stealth anymore. All right, great. You run... Okay, fine. You run forward and they spin around.
And I say... You cannot go in there because I am security.
Look over there.
I pull out my gun.
Oh.
All right, the thug with no hands, like no fingers, he's got like a sort of cylinder strapped to his palm and he goes like this and out flips a kind of extendable baton on the end of it, sizzles with electricity.
Ooh. And the other one pulls out what are basically just nunchucks. Two of them.
But with microchips on them.
Yeah.
All right.
And Eden, I think he's doing tricks.
They've got little bezels on the end, so when he spins them, they go...
I do a cunning action, and I dash through past him. And then spin around and leap.
Hey, do we need to
initiative? No, I was about to say, that will be enough to break us into initiative order. Now, I've pre-prepared initiative, which means, Bobby, you do go first. So who do you want? What do you want to do?
Yeah, so I want to dash past him and then clamber up, like jump up onto his back.
All right, yep, so you can do that with your rogue.
Is this nunchucks or taser?
Taser.
All right, you can do this with your extra action, but you are going to have to make your athletics check. Acrobatics, sorry.
Acrobatic. That's a 15.
15. That will just do it. Okay, so you get past him, and now you want to grapple with him, did you say?
So I clamber up his back, and I grab him by the corner of the mouth, around the side of his head, like... Like, yeah.
All right, sure. Make
I don't have any weapons!
That doesn't stop a lot of people. Make a dexterity attack.
Oh, I get to roll again because I got a 1, and I'm naturally
lucky. Yeah, you're a halfling, so you're going to be 16.
Okay, I got 15 plus...
4, that will do it. Yeah. All right, so you grab him, and you're grappling with him.
Yeah.
And his tongue is flying everywhere, and he's trying to scoop you off his back.
Oi, fair play, mate! Stupid!
To be fair, you should be talking with both
And he's trying to hit you with his taser.
When it's your turn, mate.
All right.
Baston, you're next.
I think it's about time for a fly kick. Well, he's some distance away. It makes sense. He can take a running start.
Yeah, okay.
And try and fly kick the guy with a nunchuck.
Bobby didn't have this penalty because, frankly, it's the first one back and I forgot, but you're drunk, so...
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a disadvantage, so two dice in the lowest.
Oh, that's not fair at all. Okay, here we go. 15 or an 8.
An 8 plus your strength is 11.
I've got acrobatics.
Oh, what's your acrobatics? You have an acrobatics? Yeah, I'll let you do martial arts.
Wah!
Yep.
Oh, sorry. All right, I'm not sorry. I was perfectly within my rights to make a wah sound.
I would say that the look was more racist than the sound.
Regardless, you miss and smash into a hard case.
Oh, no.
Hurting your leg. Next up is Jackie Boy, who is the thug that has 2 nunchucks.
Oh, Jackie Boy.
So what type of voice does he have, Aiden?
Jackie Boy, he's already talked. He kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use my nunchucks to try and hit the halfling off his back. This will surely go well.
Yeah.
Oi, Jackie Boy, look, I appreciate what you're doing, but don't miss.
Duck, I've got him, the little bugger.
Yeah, I know, but don't miss. Don't.
All right, that's a 17.
Smack.
Do I get to, do a dexterity?
No, it's your armor class.
All you hear, Bobby Pancakes,
what's your armor class?
15.
All right, so you get whacked, and you have forced to disengage, and you fly back.
But before you hear whack, before you get whacked, you hear, woo!
It makes a very annoying sound, and it also does 7 hit points of damage. Next up is Friezo.
I shoot them both with my gun. I have a gun, it's a Colt .45 with 18 bullets, and I shoot both of them and I kill them both. I have a gun.
Roll the dice. Okay, that's a 14 plus your dexterity, that's 17. That's an... Alright, that's...
What up?
Points. Alright, was it Jackie Boy or Gibbs?
Both.
Nope. They're not lined up. Jackie Boy or Gribbs?
This is a non-lethal shot, so I just kneecap Benjamin Jenkins.
Wait, when did you become concerned with murdering people?
Because what's happened is, Friezo he's gotten his job at the security guy, and obviously...
I think you're going to, I'm sorry, but because of everything that's happened in the last campaign, if you're going to try for a non-lethal shot, you're going to have to make a willpower saving throw, so...
So this is...
And I should warn you that if it was a lethal shot, you've killed him, so...
Right, so this is literally me rolling for Ben's life. So...
No, Briggs' life!
Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
God, it's all coming down!
All right, so what number... what's willpower?
This is going to be a DC 15 willpower saving.
And again, let's be clear, this is not to see if he has the technical ability to pull
plus
it
two.
Off.
Roll
this is
plus
if
two.
He has the willpower to stop himself... from murdering someone.
So you need to roll a 13 or higher.
I need to roll 13 or above. Oh, no!
With a familiarity that is frankly mysterious for a man from an ancient fantasy land, he definitely disengages the safety, racks around, and then pumps 3 shots into Briggs' head, killing him. I guess.
Guys,
that would mean, well, Briggs, Bobby, you're up.
I wipe the blood from my face as if it's like somebody has like put a pie in my face, but it's blood, and I wipe the blood from my eyes, and I look at what's happened, and I look at the audience and I say, "Oh, not again." It's a kind of an imaginary audience. It's a thing that Bobby's working on. I punch Jackie Boy in the nuts.
Dexterity check.
Oh, I get to roll again because that was a one and I'm a lucky...
Disadvantage, two dice, lowest, you're drunk.
Okay, no.
All right. You miss, and at that point, Baston, are you doing anything?
Is the other guy still not dead, right? I only killed one of the...
The other guy is still not dead, which is more than can be said for the other guy.
I don't know, like...
Are you just shouting fly kick now? Is it...
All right, well... why not? All right.
Okay, that will miss.
Oh.
But Jackie Boy has just seen his friend Briggs' head explode, and it's a little too hot in the kitchen, and a single tear rolls down his face. He drops his weapon and starts to back away, muttering to himself. He keeps one nunchuck, he drops the other.
I didn't mean no... He was my friend. I only wanted to see Johnny PlayStation, the funnest, most kawaii pop star in the Holonet. And he runs off into the catacombs.
Okay,
of the
you probably have time for a shot.
I check
if you
his
want.
Body for credits or whatever.
Yeah, okay. You find actually a credit card which reminds you of the stuff that Mr. Sauer was paying, that you presumably has a cred stick, and you also can, if you want, take the Cobra Beth baton that he was using, which is a kind of concealable baton.
The electric baton. Yeah.
But it also folds down into something you can hide in your palm.
You can take it off his fingerless hand.
Yeah, as you actually get closer to the body, you realize that the way he's dressed, this was obviously a very poor person.
And you know why you know? Because he's wearing Johnny PlayStation fan gear, but it's obviously bootleg, and yeah, he made it.
And he's actually got a crumpled photo of Johnny PlayStation and a Sharpie pen in his pocket, and that's all.
It was his birthday.
I call Friezo over. Friezo, quick, put out your hand.
Just point of order. I feel like there's a lot of propaganda being spilt out right now. Trying to make a certain elf a villain. And I will point out that the way Benny was playing music, I thought we were in a fight.
I say, Friezo, come over here. Put out your hand.
At that moment...
A fight. You didn't have to shoot him in the head to end it.
Did you?
Yeah. Give me a hand.
I put out my hand.
I get some blood from him and I just wipe it across your hand. And I say, there you go, Friezo.
In that moment, a shadow falls across you from the top of the stairs. You see a figure with a strange asymmetrical haircut and large, sharp shoulders and of their like cool jacket. And... and a voice shout out, what in the hell is going on down here?
Nothing. Just, there was a dangerous intruder, and we're just taking care of business.
Steps ring out as the figure walks down the steps, and as she walks, the shadow shrinks until you see this is actually quite a small person, a gnome, in fact, with a incredibly sort of strong makeup and... a strange modern outfit that is presumably far too expensive because otherwise you would be ridiculous if you wore it. around her, the air seems to shimmer and geometrical shapes coalesce and disappear. And from the face, however, is one that you recognize, for it is a face that you were shown in a tri-D photo just before Sauer left. It is the face of your contact, Gleam. And to play her, please welcome to the stage, Brady Connell.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, and Simon Greiner, and are DM'd by me, Dave Harmon, with NPC voices by Ben Jenkins. Shakira Khan designs our website, and the podcast is edited, the theme written by, and all live music performed by Mr. Benny Davis.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.